pro-choice liberal feminazi slut Rush Limbaugh warned you about. It's Start Me Up.
Start Me Up.
With Kimberly A. Johnson.
Hello. It is Wednesday, October 26, 2016, which happens to be Hillary Clinton's birthday. So happy birthday, Hillary Clinton. 69 years old, same age as my mom. And that happens to be such a coincidence because my mom is a guest today. And we have an interesting chat to share. We talk about all kinds of things like what an asshole Donald Trump is and how we're nasty women and how he's probably going to lose. And, you know, we also talked about our books and a little bit of background on our acting careers. I mentioned on Facebook that my mom and I were both on Days of Our Lives for 7 years. And just a little side note, you know, I get trolled on Facebook and some dude came on once and I don't know who he was, but he was pitching a fit because he was like, "Who is this Kimberly Johnson?" And, you know, I haven't found any information about any college that she's graduated from or, you know, any proof that she's on Days of Our Lives. So here's the deal on that. Since he was so upset and concerned and going around the internet and trying to pretend that I'm a big fake. For the record, I didn't formally graduate from any college. I was attending college for a while, and then I decided I wanted to become an actress, and I went to community colleges. I stopped doing that, and I started attending what was called Dvorkin Company, which was the Meisner technique. Of course, it was after my mom did it, because I copy my mom, and I do everything she does. But anyway, so, you know, she had started this acting class, and it was really cool, and she would have people come over and they would all study and rehearse, and I had decided that I wanted to get into the industry at that time. I was very young, like 21, 22. So we both studied at the Dvorkin Company studio for about 8 or 9 years, and that led to both of us getting hired, and we worked on Days of Our Lives, and that was an amazing experience. We go a little more into detail about that on the after part of the show called And Another Thing, and that's for subscribers. And, you know, so we just talked about her books and my books, and it was kind of a cool conversation, and my mom and I are both chatty, so it was kind of easy. Let's see. Before we get into the interview, I'm going to address the fact that I would like for you to support me, or support the show actually, by becoming a monthly subscriber at patreon.com/startmeup. So here's the deal. If you pledge $1 a month, just $1 for the whole month, you'll get my undying gratitude. And that's a lot. And always and forever too. So just forever, you'll have my undying gratitude. And then if you pledge $5 a month, you'll get access to the bonus show, which is And Another Thing. And that's where my guest and I will continue our conversation. And then sometimes we'll also take questions from people on Facebook or Twitter or whatever. And then if you pledge $10 a month, you'll get access to a free bonus third show. And that show's going to be a little bit more loose. My guest for the third show this month is going to be Bob Seska, who's a big mouth political writer. He has lots of opinions and he's funny. And I'm going to actually make that show free because it should be a pretty interesting and juicy conversation. It's going to come out in the next couple of days. And so that way it'll be like a little teaser. And Bob will probably be a regular guest on my show because he's the producer of my show. And, you know, we'll talk more about that later. But anyway, so I urge you to support me and my show if you can. It would be great because I'm an independent author and I'm doing an independent podcast and I'm working really hard and it's not easy and I got to pay my bills, right? So anyway, there you go. There's my pitch for all of that. So I don't really think I have anything to say before we launch into this conversation because my mom and I covered a lot of ground. So that's about it. So I hope you'll enjoy this conversation that I had with my mom, Ann Werner, and here it comes.
Pursuing the agenda of manicide, here's Kimberly.
And I'm so excited to have my mom on the show, who I haven't seen in 5 minutes. welcome, Ann Werner.
Hello, hello, hello.
we have a lot to talk about today. I think we're going to start with Trump and what an asshole he is and how he's kind of unified women all over the country.
Well, in a way, actually, you know, he really has unified women all over the country because he's insulted just about every woman in the country and everybody hates his ugly ass.
Yeah, and you wrote something about it, basically thanking him. I know we'll get to that in a second, but I know that you had said that there were some comments. I think it was called Thank You, Donald Trump or something like that.
Yes, thank you for being Donald Trump.
And then people who don't read the article go on Facebook and comment, go, I'm not going to thank Trump for anything. So I always recommend that you read the article before you make a comment.
Thank you very much.
So in your piece, what was your main gist? What was your point?
Well, the main thrust of it was that women for years have been talking about the fact that men act inappropriately towards them. I mean, you walk down the street and you hear, hey, coochie, coochie, and whatever from whoever. And it isn't a compliment. Women don't really
smile.
Think that, yes, I've been told, why don't you smile more?
Yeah.
And I just...
You just want to say, fuck you. That's what you want to say.
I actually have said, fuck you sometimes. But, you
See,
know...
we're such nasty women.
I know. But the fact that he has brought this into the national conversation has done what no woman ever could have done. Because, like I said in the article that I wrote... women do that and they, oh, you're a whiner. You don't know what you're talking about. Blah, 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 blah. That's all you ever hear.
Or you'll stop complaining when you get old and they don't do it to you anymore.
I know.
That's always a fun one.
Oh, I know. Because, you know, after what, 40, I think it's actually after 35, according to Donald Trump, okay, a woman loses her cachet.
Well, yeah. I mean, I said this to, I believe, I don't know. It was either Soraya Shumaley or Madison. Maybe it was Soraya that... When I've brought up sexual assault on Facebook before, you know, I mean, there's a lot of men out there who totally get it and they support it, but there's always going to be that crowd that screams, not all men, and they act personally offended as if I'm directing the article saying, hey, pay attention to this, please stand up for women, whatever it is. They act as if I'm singling them out and embarrassing them in front of the world. And my least favorite comment from a man, whenever you see like an article about a rapist, whether he is getting away with something or, you know, the judge gives him a light sentence, a man will come on and they'll comment, well, if that happened to my daughter, wife, sister, you know, you could be sure that he would be 6 feet under. And so it's like I get their anger and I respect it, but I also feel irritated because they're not really going to go out and do anything to this guy, which I would never recommend or, you know, condone a murder. But it's the idea that they're flexing their muscles and they're saying that would never happen with me. And it's like, it happens all the time.
Yeah. And, it does happen all the time.
Them acting like big, you know, men on campus on Facebook isn't helping anything. It helps when there's a joke made or when another man views another man doing this and they stand up and say something, you know, pretending that you're going to go murder somebody on Facebook for rape doesn't help.
Well, you know, an armchair murderer, what can I say about that? But I think, you know, one of the, you're making me laugh.
I'm going to hashtag them and say armchair murderer next time I see.
Well, but one of the things that, popped up, okay, from one of the guys, okay, that is one of my friends on Facebook, when I posted the article about Thank You, Donald Trump. And somebody had said something, and I said, that's because it doesn't happen to men. And so this Facebook friend of mine, a guy, he chimed in, and what he said was very true. He said, I understand a lot about what happens to women, but I don't understand it all because I am not a woman, so I am at a distance. Just like I can understand the problems that people of color experience, but I understand from a distance because I am a white man. Mm-hmm. And the fact that Donald Trump has said the horrible, horrendous, sexist, racist things that he has said has just brought to the fore the cancer that is in our society.
Well, it's kind of like Obama, you know, ripped the ugly underbelly of racism. I mean, it's not that
exactly.
It's not that racism wasn't around before Obama, but he certainly, you know, brought them all out, just as Donald Trump is, you know, bringing this. Well, he's done a service by bringing this conversation into the mainstream, and more men have been commenting on my Facebook post saying, "I just found out it happened to my wife or my sister, and this is really an epidemic." And it's awesome because it's not to say that men were against us before, but now they're kind of, you know, saying, oh, you know, because women get grabbed, women get assaulted. And the worst thing that we can do as a society is either make silly jokes about it, which diminishes how awful it is, or if we condone certain behaviors, look away, the boys will be boys. When you say boys will be boys, it means, oh, well, it's really okay that they behave that way, and it isn't.
No, it isn't. And worse, women have really not been able to complain about it.
Yeah.
I worked in the car business. And when I first went to the car business, it was a very male-dominated business. Now, not quite as much. But most of the men there were very cool, and they were very respectful of me. But there was one place that I worked, and there was this one guy, and he never lost an opportunity to grab my ass when I was walking by. And it pissed me off, and I kept telling him, stop doing it. And he just laughed like it was some kind of a joke. I wanted so badly, and I would have if I could have caught him, but I wasn't going to run across the showroom floor in my heels and dress. I wanted to grab him by the balls and just twist and let him know, okay, how really awful it was to have somebody grab a hold of you uninvited.
Yeah. And then you can't complain because it's all men and yeah. It's the boys will be boys.
And they'll
club.
Just look at you and laugh.
And then you're a troublemaker.
He was I'm a troublemaker. And he was just being a guy.
A guy just grabbing you. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure you know this, but I'm just saying this for for the audience. But back when I was, I think, 17. You know, I looked like a woman. I was dressed up for work. I was 6 feet tall. I always thought I looked around 26. But anyway, so I was, let's say, heading north. I was on Pacific Coast Highway in Southern California. And I was heading north to where I worked, which was a pizza place. And I was all dressed up in my fancy outfit and everything. And I remember just as I left, this man who was heading south passed me on the sidewalk. And there was just something that I felt. There was something off about him, and I didn't feel comfortable, but whatever, you know, he passed me, I moved forward. Well, all of a sudden, I'm about three quarters of the way to work, and I, you know, come up upon a cross street, and boom, he comes out, and he's right in front of my face. And again, that my inner alarm went off, and he came up to me, and he said, may I ask you a question? And I was kind of like nervous, and I said, what? And he said, can I touch your breasts? And I was like, ah! And
at least he asked.
Yeah, at least he asked. But I mean, it was just so it freaked me out. I was so afraid. And there was a hair salon, and I ran into the hair salon, and the people there were really friendly. And I think they drove me or escorted me to work, so I didn't have to go by myself. But, you know, I mean, there's story after story after story where women all over the world, whether, you know, anything from grabbing to intimidation, yeah, and decent exposure, even in the idea, it's like, I also see the butthurt men on there, when, you know, on Facebook or whatever, when you talk about, when you complain that you're being ordered to smile by some man, and they're like, oh, fine, then I'm just never going to say anything again. And it's like, really? That's the angle you're going to take? Women don't walk up to men and start making demands on how they behave in a general setting in the world, yet men seem to feel really comfortable doing that with women, and we're sick and tired of it. Just, it's not that we don't want to be polite. It's not that we don't, you know, hey, if I'm walking down the street and a man says, that's a really great dress, I'm not going to be upset by that. I'm going to say thank you. But yeah. I don't want some man to just start making demands on me. Hey, smile. It's yeah. Like, well, you know, fuck you.
I know. I know. It's the same thing, you know, when you meet someone, all right, and they don't look at your face.
Yeah,
try to look at your boobs. Your breasts.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, hello.
That reminds me of when I did the first rally for We Are Women in Washington, and I was speaking, and my dad said that he was going to go, and he was going to wear a tank top that said, "My eyes are up here." Or up there or whatever. My crazy dad. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely something that I think it's a good thing that Donald Trump is actually being an asshole, such an asshole, and exposing that he's a sexual predator and aggressor to the world, because it's starting up a whole new conversation, and it's bringing awareness to something that that needs that awareness. So, I'm not going to say Hillary's going to win, because we all have to go vote, and we also have to vote.
Absolutely. No room for complacency. Yeah,
down ballot voting, no matter what. And, you know, we all have to vote, but it looks really good for Hillary right now. So I hope that it's just this huge blue wave and he gets his ass handed to him
on a platter.
Oh my God. It just, so I want to ask you a couple questions, since you are my feminist, nasty, big mouth mom. That's why I'm a nasty feminist, big mouth, because I do everything you do. But anyway, a couple more things I just want you to share, because these are some of my favorite stories from your work experiences. First, talk about the time that you quit over the loudspeaker.
Well, I was working at this car dealership, and it was really a terrible experience. I was having a meltdown, let's put it that way, because it was such a terrible experience. And I finally decided I was going to quit. So I went to the general manager's office. This general manager, he had a Napoleonic complex. He was maybe about 4'11". He was always dressed very nattily. He didn't have so much as a pen on his desk. I don't know what the man did all day long, but at any rate, he was not in his office. So I thought, all right, I'm going to find the sales manager. And I could not find a sales manager. So I thought, all right, I'm going to go quit to the office manager. And I couldn't find the office manager. So I'm thinking, well, I can't stay here because these people treat me like shit. And so I just got on the public address system right in front of the receptionist, whose jaw dropped to the floor, and I went, "Attention," I won't say the name of the dealership, but it no longer exists because the guy was an asshole and he lost like 5 dealerships because he did such terrible business. So I said, "Attention, blah, blah, shoppers. The fleet department is now closed. I quit." And I left. And they actually called to hire me back.
Wow.
That's how That is what a toilet that place was.
Yeah.
That they couldn't find anybody, so they begged the person who quit over the loudspeaker to come back.
Well, that, you know, but it takes balls on your chest to do something like that.
On my chest.
Well, you know, balls on your chest.
Okay.
Don't you know? Haven't you heard that?
I didn't, I have now.
And then there's also that story about the guy you had to train.
Oh yeah. This was a long time ago, and I was working for this company in Baltimore. It was a lighting company.
A what? A lighting?
A lighting company. Lighting contractor. And so I had this boss, and he was a really nice guy. But then one day, he comes in, and he looks like a wreck. He comes out of the owner's office, and he goes, "I can't believe it. They fired me." So after he cleaned off his desk, I was called in to the owner's office, who informed me that they were going to promote this guy from downstairs to be my new boss, and he wanted me to train the guy. And I said, well, why can't I be the manager of the department? And he said, well, he has a family. And I said, well, I'm a single mother. And he just looked at me with this blank,
I said unbelievable.
Oh, okay. He gave me this blank stare. And I said, well, I already know the job. And he just didn't say anything. So I just went, well, you know what? In that case, you can take your job and shove it. And I quit. Because that's just wrong.
Yeah. And, you know, I've shared that story on Facebook before, that you had to train a guy to replace you. And unfortunately, you know, there was so many other women who chimed in who were right along there, you know, with you having to do exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
And it's just unbelievable.
I just wouldn't do it. I decided a long time ago that I was not going to take any shit off of anybody. I didn't care if it was a man. I didn't care if it was a woman. I had a guy in my living room one time. We were on a date. We're in my living room. We're drinking my wine. We're eating my food. And we're talking. And I say fuck. I think fuck is a really great word because you can use it in so many different ways. So, you know, I'm using the word fuck here, there, and everything. And he interrupts me and he goes, you know, he said, you're really a beautiful woman. And you're so intelligent and you're so interesting, but you really do have to clean up your language. You know, you really shouldn't be saying that word so much. I looked at him and I thought, So then I had to go to the bathroom. So I thought, well, you know what? I'm going to go to the bathroom. I'm not going to say anything to him. By the time I get back, maybe he'll have forgotten all about this. So I got up and I went into the bathroom, did my business, come back. By the time I got back, I had forgotten it. But he launched right in, schooling me how I had such a potty mouth and I should just watch it. So I just got up and I went over to the front door and I said, well, if you don't fucking like it, I can. And then I opened the door. I said, you can get the fuck out. And that was the end of him.
He was profanity-splaining to you.
Yeah, well.
I always have the segment for the subscribers called And Another Thing, where I take questions from listeners. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to get one question that we can answer here. We'll carry on our conversation in the after segment a little later, not ending it right now, but I'm going to take this one question. So, I had it all queued up and then, I hit something on my computer. Okay, here it is. Let's see. Hold on. But, I figured it would be nice to, since we did get some decent questions here, it would be nice to add one. Okay. So, let's see. Of course, now I can't find it. But basically, what do you think is going to be the effect of the outcome of this election? And that's a question I believe was from John. So go for it.
Wow. You know, that's really up in the air. I think Trump is going to lose. I pray to God Trump is going to lose. I know there are a lot of loudmouths out there, just like the armchair murderer. All right. But I don't think that they'll act, but by the same token, there is a certain segment, the white supremacist segment, of the Timothy McVeigh bent, that really does make me nervous in the event of a Trump loss, particularly a massive loss, which I think will most likely happen.
Well, now I got the question up, and actually it was, how will the first female commander-in-chief change the dynamic in Washington? So there you go. There's the question.
Oh, no, that's interesting. Well, yeah. I think, in one way. Okay, first of all, you know, Mitch McConnell, he's come out and said, you know, we're going to block everything that she wants to do. So, you know, we just have to get rid of those people. The dynamic, if we have a Republican controlled Congress the way we do now, the dynamic I think will stay the same. The rhetoric will change because now it's all going to be misogyny rather than the racist crap that we've been hearing for the past 8 years.
Well, it'll just be less racist crap and more misogyny, as opposed, you know, it'll switch around.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah,
it'll still be there.
Oh, it'll still be there, but you know, since it's going to be a woman president.
Yeah.
I especially love the guy that
you know, in her vagenda of manicide.
Yeah, her vagenda of manicide. I like the thing. I saw it the other day. It was posted. I'm sure everybody has seen it. And if you haven't, about the guy that was so concerned about whether, you know, what would happen when Hillary gets her period. Hello.
Oh, yeah,
the
yeah.
woman turned 69 years old today. I think she is over getting her period.
Yeah, I think.
But the one thing about Hillary Clinton is she has, despite all the garbage thrown at her, she has been able to work with Republicans. Mm-hmm. She worked with them when she was in the Senate. And I think that she can do that. And I also think that there are, you know, there are certain Republican women in Congress who will work with her on a variety of issues that have been shelved for too long. The issues, especially, you know, dealing with women. So, and I think, you know, Hillary has promised to put a lot of women, what is it, 50% in her cabinet.
Yeah.
I think that will make a definite difference. And it should, because after all, women make up half the population of this country. We should have that kind of representation in our government.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I she's obviously going to appoint more women in the cabinet. She said half.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's also, I mean, it's going to change the dynamic from, you know, a big emphasis on racism to a bigger emphasis on misogyny, which, you know, since 2012, who would have thought that there'd be even more emphasis? But I believe that obviously there will be. But I think on the other side of that coin, I remember when it was announced that Obama won. And then the world reaction that we watched, I don't think the world reaction is going to be the same. I mean, people were dancing in the streets all over the world when they saw that Obama. I don't think people are going to be dancing in the streets for Hillary Clinton. But
I think they'll be breathing a huge sigh of relief.
Yeah, but I think, you know, I remember watching and you know, feeling part of that excitement when Obama won, and how groundbreaking it was. And I think that, you know, one of the thoughts that I had was all these little, at the time, I thought black boys, maybe girls, but specifically African-American boys were looking at this and saying, I can do that.
Yes.
And I mean, I just remember feeling so filled with, you know, like happiness that people were able to look at the American presidency with a new kind of fresh perspective. And I think Hillary's going to do that for little girls.
Yeah, she's going to, she will illustrate that the presidency is attainable for a woman.
Right.
Finally, that glass ceiling will have been shattered.
You know, and both of us were hardcore Bernie supporters.
Hardcore.
And this primary was not easy. It was very difficult. At least it was for me. I know I'm more emotional than you, and I probably cried. You probably didn't cry.
Well, I kind of went into a pretty big funk. I went into a pretty big funk that was very difficult to pull out of. So
yeah,
you know, I was very disappointed. But once it became clear that Hillary was the winner, and she was the winner,
mm-hmm.
despite what some people would have you believe, I went, okay, that's it. You know, when she first announced, and you can attest to this, I turned to you and I said, this is the most qualified person ever, ever, ever. Nobody can hold a candle to her.
Yeah.
And it was true then, and it is true now.
Well, and here's something that I have been thinking of. I mean, you know, I have to admit that I've learned more about her since the Democratic National Convention.
Yes.
And I've done my own research. I was surprised at some of the things I've learned, like, you know, in her early part of her career, she went undercover in Alabama to, you know, find discrimination in schools. She's done so much for children. There's all these things that she's done. I mean, it's just such a long list of things that she's done. And then, of course, she's got you know, some negatives in her corner that, you know, I heard, and I can't remember his name, but he was recently on Bill Maher and is a libertarian and he's throwing all his support.
Oh, Andrew Sullivan. Yes.
Andrew Sullivan. And, you know, he made a point the other night, I believe it was on Lawrence O'Donnell, where he said that sometimes the Clintons have a tendency to throw their principles out the window. They're money hungry, they're power hungry. Yeah, that's all true. I think that's definitely true. And many men who have run for president are guilty for just the same thing. I think what I liked about Bernie was how authentic he was and how he didn't seem to, you know, do the dirty tricks. He didn't really smear. I mean, he did try to call out what he thought were negatives with Hillary, but it didn't, in my opinion, didn't come off as a nasty smear.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, in the end, when I look at her and, you know, clearly, when she was first lady, she could taste wanting to sit in the Oval Office.
Oh, you know,
she just wanted that so badly. And there's the there's that whole thing of Bill Clinton always saying, you know, 8 years a Bill, 8 years a Hill. This was their goal. So from the time that Bill Clinton was president until right now, Hillary and Bill have gone around and tried to lock down all kinds of, you know, support from all different places. And, you know, whether it's accepting money from, you know, big donors, whether it's, you know, promising things to people or, you know, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. Whether you guys like it or not, that's politics. That's how it works. And this is what they've been doing. And there could be the argument, well, you know, if Elizabeth Warren came in, she didn't do any of that. Well, she also hasn't been, she hasn't set her eyes on the presidency.
She doesn't want the presidency. And not only that, I like Elizabeth Warren right where she is, because she, along with Bernie Sanders, are going to really be working to push forward the progressive agenda that is the Democratic platform. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of times, you know, those platforms, they're like window dressing at the conventions.
Right.
This time is different. This time, this was a hard fought platform to get things in there that otherwise never would have made it in. Things that Hillary Clinton actually talked against. There's that $15 an hour minimum wage. Mm-hmm. That's part of the Democratic Party platform now.
Yeah. Well, it's up to us. It's up to the progressives. It's up to liberals. It's up to Democrats.
Exactly.
To make her aware of what we want and to vote in the legislators that are going to, you know, push forward progressive laws and policies. So, you know, she's not a dictator. She's
no,
not
she going
to be able to
and
just
the thing
tell
is,
everybody.
She's going to want to be reelected.
Yeah.
And she's going to remember, okay, that this time, all right, she's had a difficult time when she had Bernie Sanders, who came out of nowhere, literally breathing down her neck. He didn't lose to her by all that much.
Yeah. Yeah, after getting, you know, bombed by Obama in 2008.
Exactly. So, you know, she is going to want to win a second term.
Yeah.
And she's going to realize that people are going to have to be happy with her. Because really, the Republicans put up the worst possible candidate not just on the planet, in the entire universe, in all of creation. So,
and he's going to lose as long as you guys get out and vote.
Hear, hear.
Vote.
Vote, vote, vote.
So now I'm going to switch gears and talk a little bit about our creative endeavors. And just, you know, for some of you who don't know, I did post this on Facebook, but my mother and I we co-authored, I guess you could call it, we created a couple of what we called at the time reality books, which are basically anthologies. And one was called The Virgin Diaries, where we interviewed men and women about what it was like to have first time sex. We did a book called Ain't No Sunshine, Men Reveal the Pain of Heartbreak, where we got stories from anonymous men who explained what it was like to experience, you know, whether they were victims of divorce or, you know, getting broken up with or either unrequited love. And then since those two books, we've kind of gone off into our own. You've got your genres are thriller that you like to write. And obviously I wrote a book called American Woman about voting, the pole dance. And then I also have recently just put out Peyton's Choice. But your books are, like I said, thrillers. And those are some of my favorite kind of books to read because my favorite authors are Dean Koontz and Stephen King. So since it's Halloween, it's a perfect time to bring up a couple of your thrillers. And so I'm going to start. I'll let you talk about them a little bit because what I really like about them, and obviously you're my mom, so I'm going to say nice things about you, but you know that when you've written something that I don't like, I'm like, no, change that.
That's very true.
So I'm always very honest. And there's one of the books that you wrote is called Crazy. And it's funny. And this is not why it's one of my favorites, because I have a couple favorites, but it's very loosely based on, there's a character in there that's very loosely based on me. She's the lead character. That's not why I like it. I like it because it's a thriller, and it's actually, I'm not going to give away the big reveal or whatever, but it's a serial killer with a twist, and there's a little bit of humor in there. And
twisted humor.
Yeah, it's like real dark humor. And
my favorite.
So I'm going to ask you to talk about that in just 1 second, but I just want to preface it with some of the things that you've written in that book in Crazy, as well as you have, there's Cooper's Grove and Dreams and Nightmares. There's a couple of things in Dreams and Nightmares that you wrote that were just so ghastly. And same thing with Crazy. And you can't even bear to watch some of this stuff in a movie, yet you'll sit there and write this like horrendous, horrible, you know, just nasty stuff. And it's, you can't watch it. So it's funny how you can write it, but you can't watch it. So tell us a little bit about Crazy.
Well, Crazy is the story of a young woman who was going to be an actress, and then she just didn't make it, so she decided she was going to be a chef. And that is where she found fame and fortune. Her finding that fame and fortune inflamed the hatred of a satanic serial killer who decides that in order to terrorize Emily, my protagonist's name, that actresses who bear a resemblance to her need to die in horrific ways. So this killer, first of all, alerts Emily that it's going to happen. Now, she doesn't know what to make of it at first. But then once the nasty deed is done, the killer takes a photo of the victim after they've been killed. And sends it to Emily and sends it to the news media. So Emily kind of knows that she's going to be a victim. She just doesn't know when. And
that's all you should say.
Yeah.
It's really good. And I'm telling you, it's on Amazon. And
right now, okay, it's only 99 cents, only until November 1st. It's on Kindle for 99 cents.
So I highly recommend all of them. If you happen to visit Amazon and you get the book and you read it, you should give it a good review, because we're indie authors and we need your help. And, you know, we don't get paid by big publishing houses to write these books. We just take our own time to write them. So please give us favorable reviews if you like our books.
Please.
And then there's another book you wrote. I like both of them. There's Cooper's Grove.
Yeah, Cooper's Grove is also on special for Halloween.
And that's a really good, that's like a romance story about a ghost, right? Like, well, there's a ghost in it.
There's a ghost in it, but it's not your usual paranormal romance, right? Because that's just not my thing, you know? I mean, I loved The Ghost of Mrs. Muir, probably something that you...
I know
people.
The name.
Okay, well, that was a paranormal romance between the ghost and a live woman. This is a little bit different. This is about an angry ghost, and it's narrated by Agnes McPherson, who's called Miss Aggie.
Yeah,
and she talks like this in my head, at least. She just developed a voice of her own, and no matter how I tried to rewrite, it was always Miss Aggie. She was talking to me, and she was telling me this story about Lucinda May Hawkins and Billy Joe Dean and that awful, awful dead husband, John Dawson.
And that's called Cooper's Grove.
99 cents until November 1st in Kindle on Amazon.
And then there's one more. It's called Dreams and Nightmares.
Yeah, that one's not on sale, but you ought to get it anyway because, oh, that's a nasty guy.
Yeah, in fact...
And he's got a really nasty biker girlfriend.
And I'll tell you, I won't give it away, but while she was writing this book, I would read it and give her my...
You're going to talk about the toenails.
Well, but I'm not going to give it the... There's something gross about toenails. But... there was a story that I heard from somebody that I knew that was just horrendously awful. So I was, I was reading her manuscript as she was writing it. And I, cause I like really creepy, the more creepy, the better. And, so I said, you know, this just needs something that's even more creepy. So I thought about it and there was this disgusting story about toenails and she added it. So then, when she finished the manuscript and then she gave it out to like five or 10 different people to read to get their feedback. Every single person commented on the toenails because it's so gross.
So thank you, Kimberly, for the toenail thing.
All right. So I think, and of course, like I said, we've got the Virgin Diaries. We've got Ain't No Sunshine, Men Reveal the Pain of Heartbreak. We've got my book, Peyton's Choice. We've got American Woman, The Pole Dance. We've got a whole bunch of books, and we'd love if you supported us.
Again, and we got a couple of short stories, too.
Yes.
I've got A View from the Meadow.
And what is your website?
And The Chemtrail Conspiracy. My website is annwerner.info. That's A-N-N-W-E-R-N-E-R .info as in information.
So you should check that out. We also have arcstories.com, arkstories.com. That has our books on it. So you can take a look there. And, you know,
you can read, because you can actually read a couple of chapters from each of the books.
Yeah, to see if you like it. And then once again, support us indie authors because we work so hard just for you.
Yeah. Hey, and if you go to my website and sign up for my mailing list, you'll get a free copy. Free digital copy of The Chemtrail Conspiracy.
And if you don't purchase our books, then we're not going to have any money and we'll be forced to live in refrigerator boxes and it'll all be on your head.
I know. And while we're living in those boxes, we're going to be casting spells on all the people that didn't buy our books.
All righty. Well, I guess we're going to wrap up now, but don't forget, stay around for the end another thing and we'll take some questions from people on Facebook. But for everybody else, if you want to hear or listen to our conversation after this, become a subscriber for $5 and you'll get to listen to another thing.
Woohoo!
On patreon.com/startmeup. So thanks, Ann Werner.
Thanks for having me.